Artlist IO. Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get a rest, yeah. Working like I never know I'm best, yeah. Every single day I feel the pressure. What's happening, everybody? Welcome back. Welcome back to That One Studios and the What Are You Made Of show with your boy C-Rock. I'm in a building today with a buddy of mine. I saw this guy initially, I believe through either Rich Dolan or Grant Cardone. He was giving him a painting or something. And then I ran into him in Miami with another friend of mine. We were down there hanging out and smoked some cigars. And I'm like, dude, I got to get you on my show, man. I got to find out the ingredients that go into making you who you are. Anthony Ricciardi's in the building. This dude's an artist, former Division I baseball player. Says on your Instagram you're colorblind, which I can't even imagine. I hope that's like some, I don't know, we'll find out about that too. And then you also left a nice career in finance to really follow your heart once you kind of find out who you were, and then all the stuff, like magic stuff, started happening, and beautiful like pieces of art have come out of you, man. And I'm excited to find out what this dude's made of. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm very grateful to be here, and yeah, we've connected through so many different ways, and I'm super grateful.
You know what I found out, man? Like when I found out who I am and I started following this mission of like all people are unstoppable to living the life of their dreams. And I filter my thoughts, words, actions, the people I hang around through that, my hobbies, my business, my vehicles, everything through that mission. I start finding people like that just come out of the woodworks that like align with it. Right. Yeah. And it also repels a lot of the people that, you know, look, not bad people, but just don't align with what, you know, so,
yeah,
you know, and yeah. It's cool. And I don't question that method, the process of that, like the results of that. It's just, I just keep leaning into it further. So I think that's how we got connected, because of, I think you have identified your mission, and we'll find out more about that. But let me start the show the right way, because I'll go down rabbit holes and forget to ask the question. Anthony, what are you made of?
What am I made of? I mean, it's a great question. In my whole entire life, I wanted to be an artist, and ultimately what I learned through that process, and I'll tell the backstory about all that after, but what I'm made of is truly believing that when we have a dream, it's only one thing to have a dream. We need to actually wake up and execute that dream. So I believe what I've been able to do in life is have these relatively outlandish dreams, relatively outlandish concepts, and actually wake up and execute. So I believe that, and that goes to charity work, that goes to family, that goes to friends, that goes to executing work and projects and collaborations. I believe that what I'm made of is the ability to see a dream, think of something that the, you know, general population considers crazy, and go and execute on that every single day. So hard work, tenacity, and all the other fun stuff in between, that you know what it takes and all the ingredients that it takes to get here. But that's what I think is the root of it, is just actually waking up from a dream and going and executing.
Yeah, yeah. You know what like blows my mind is like, you know, your work obviously came from your head, right? So like, it's created out of, I don't want to say nothing, but it's your thoughts, right? Your imagination. While I'm driving down the road, and I've been to different cities, some are like gloomier than others, and then others have just this beautiful architecture. And I always do this thing where I'm like, that came out of somebody's head.
Yeah.
You know, and it's amazing. So, and we don't give enough credit to our imagination, and we don't execute on our imagination enough.
When you realize that everything has been created, like this app that we're on, the lights that are put, the microphone was created from an individual's brain. It's mind blowing.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Now I'm a sports fan, so I got to ask you about the baseball. Like what position did you play?
I was a pitcher. So I grew up here. I'm based in Toronto, Canada. So I grew up here. I always loved baseball. I'm a relatively smaller size guy to play at that next level, but through all of the lessons that I learned through a life that also translate to business, that also translate to art, you know, hard work, repetition, and all the fun stuff, pitching was where I really excelled. So I got a scholarship to Alabama State University. It was a Division I school down in Montgomery, which was a super fun experience. And I think just in all the lessons that I learned there, I've been able to translate them throughout everything that I do in life. So it's, baseball was my first real love, and I did it as far as I could.
And are you a Blue Jays fan?
I am. Yeah, I grew up. Okay. Actually, my dad's a really, really big Boston Red Sox fan. So growing up, we grew up going to Fenway, and I fell in love with Fenway. So, like, I mean, my heart is here in Toronto, but, like, as a baseball fan, I love the Red Sox.
Yeah, so I'm a Phillies fan, and Joe Carter broke my heart when I was a kid, man. Yeah. And when he hit that home run, and I was like, this can't be happening. This isn't supposed to be the way it is. Like, so anyway, Toronto's a great sports city. You know, and then they had the Raptors now and all that. It's just a great, great sport. I've never been. I gotta be. I don't know why.
Cold, snowy, snowstorm yesterday, but most other times of the year, it's beautiful.
All right. Well, when the weather gets nicer, I'm gonna make a point to come up there, see you, Rich, and.
Please
and
do.
And maybe Drake while I'm up there. I'll pop in and see Drake. I don't know if he's hangs out in Toronto still or not, but anyway. So, all right. So here's the thing. Art growing up besides sports, was it something that you like liked art class and drew a lot when you're out of school and different things or what? How did that start?
Like I always had a passion for art, but so my uncle, my dad's brother was an artist growing up. And transparently, he would say this himself to me, like he never did well, or it wasn't his full career doing art. Because through the 80s, especially through the 90s, there was a concept that everyone's very familiar of is a starving artist. So my whole entire life, I was like, well, I don't want to starve, right? Like, I don't want to become a starving artist. So no one directly told me, don't be an artist. It was just like a general term, like, what are you going to do, art? It doesn't even make any sense. So I always had this passion and I painted a lot on the sides. When I went away to university, I actually studied finance because art wasn't a thing. It wasn't real. But while being away, unfortunately, my uncle, who was one of my biggest inspirations, he passes away. When I get home, I get all of his old art. I get all of his old poetry. He was a poet as well. And maybe it was a way, you know, looking back, this is 12, 13 years ago now, you know, looking back, it was probably an outlet for me. I probably was, in a way, internally mourning the loss and I didn't come home and all this different stuff. So I started painting and a lot of them were like based on his poetry and it was for no one. It was for myself. And I just started painting more because all my whole life I painted, but it was just like here and there. But when I started working, I started painting more. And then all of a sudden every night I was painting. Then all of a sudden every weekend I was painting. Then I would wake up early before work to paint. And I was living at home at the time. Didn't have many other responsibilities besides like go to work, see my friends and family, see my significant other, and paint. And I was like, well, I'm just going to keep doing this. And slowly but surely that snowball started to build. And that's really how the, you know, the art came into play. It was very organic. There was no master plan at the start of it. It was like, I like art, but this isn't real. So let me get a job. And then slowly but surely, I just started pressing.
And, you know, what do you do with art when you're not selling it, when you're first starting out and you're developing all these great paintings and all this? Because listen, by the way, every creation from an artist is great. It's all subjective. You can't say, some people say, oh, that sucks. It's everything that comes out of your imagination is great to me.
Yeah.
What do you do with all the stuff? Like, it just stacks up, doesn't it? Like, what's the way to get rid of it?
It's a great question. Yeah, no, it's a great question. So early on, like definitely when people like, you know, rewind 10 years, 12 years, no one's buying my art. I also didn't have enough money to do all that. Like I couldn't buy hundreds of canvas and paint and everything. It's very expensive. So genuinely what I did, and looking back now, it was very smart of me to do this because it allowed me to build out a portfolio, but I would paint a canvas, a singular canvas, and I would take photos of it. I would put it up on a random wall, like in a house or a friend's house, take a photo of it up, take it down, paint it white, and start again. And I did that probably for 100 canvases, like my first 100 paintings ever. Didn't sell to anyone. I met a family friend here, an aunt here, like a buddy here would like buy a painting for the cost of the paint or whatever it may be, just to like get it out into the world. But the first few years was just painting over and over. And you mentioned it at the beginning, but I am colorblind. So that's been a big hurdle for me throughout my art career. It's early on, not anymore. But the reason why is I don't see shades. So it helped with the layering process of my artwork. When I was early on, I would try to put like blue up in the left corner and yellow over here. And I wouldn't see it become muddy green or brown. I didn't see the change of color. So that created my process, which my process is very simple, where every color that I add onto a canvas, it needs to fully dry, which adds for very thick texture. All my canvases have very, very, very depth and texture. So two things happened while I was learning my style, which was I was painting on the same canvas over and over again because I didn't have enough money to buy more. And then the second thing was I was figuring out how to work with being colorblind. So all those repetitions, and you know this, like repetitions is everything. All those reps equaled the first time I was confident enough to be like, okay, now I'll buy 10 canvases and do a little local show for like my cousins and like people, my friends and family to come support. And that's how it started.
That's amazing, dude. Like, yeah. I, you know, the fact that you're colorblind and then you have a process to overcome that, that alone is a great story, and you didn't let it stop you. So the next thing I want to ask you about, though, is the starving artist thing. Do you think it's the same thing? There's like, you could put this on everything. You could put it on athletes. You could put it on business entrepreneurs, starving entrepreneurs. It really comes down to that you just don't know how to market themselves.
Yes. Yes.
And it's like this, myth that, you know, you got to be an art or even music, right? Like, it's all manufactured celebrity in a sense, right?
Yep.
And if you know how to do that, then eyeballs come. If enough eyeballs come, you're gonna make it. You're gonna make money. Am I right with that, or is it different for art?
You're 100% right. You know, the early on of the starving artist concept came from that. They were all dependent on a gallery promoting them and putting them out there. Without the gallery, especially historically, not anymore with social media, but historically, they couldn't do anything. So a lot of these artists, and you mentioned it early, you said, you know, art is subjective. That's why it's all beautiful. But the problem with that is a canvas with a red dot can sell for $20 million, and it has. A black canvas can sell for multi-million dollars, and it has. Why? Because of the story behind it. But what people don't understand is, and we get overwhelmed as entrepreneurs, let's take art out of the equation. As entrepreneurs, that entrepreneur that has failed four or five times through different startups and then hits a home run on the fifth one, everyone says like, oh yeah, it was like that one. No, it was these failures. It was all the repetition that he or she had to go up and down throughout life to actually execute that one home run. It's the same for art, same with music. We see a one-hit wonder and we go, oh, well, great for that musician. That song was good. You didn't see his catalog of hundreds of songs before that no one listened to, right? So all of that is so important. But I do think the starving artist concept, starving musician, starving entrepreneur concept is still very prevalent today. And the reason is because people aren't there. We're worried about, you know, people talking about us. We're worried about outside forces. We're worried about, instead of putting things out into the world, you never know what's going to click. You got to put things out.
Yeah, exposure, man. Exposure, right?
I mean, you know, you said eyeballs is everything.
Eyeballs. You said that one a bunch of times, by the way. I just want to point that out. Like, you that just one. Said that one. Yeah, yeah.
I love it.
Every time somebody here like says it, I hear it, it's like, man, this is good marketing. So, you know, the other thing I wanted to point out was, I had a good another. I got thrown off track with that. I guess what was your first break? When you actually money wise, right? And attention wise, what was that first thing that
happened? Yeah. There's been a bunch, and you know, and it seemed to go back to the musician concept for a second. Like, obviously, the one hit wonder of the world, I can't, as an artist and anything else, can't have a one hit wonder. We don't have that. That's something that can just go one singular song that can take over the world. We can't do that with a painting. So for me, it's been a bunch of building blocks that has led to big tumbles of you know, relative success. And for me, the first big one was being denied by all the galleries and representation that I reached out to. By being denied, it let me pivot and start my own gallery. It was a concept that not a lot of artists, very few in history actually, have ever really just taken on the art representation aspect by themselves. And that's exactly what I did. So there's a very quick story, but there's a mall here in Toronto, Canada. It's called Yorkdale Shopping Center. It's one of the top three luxury malls in all of North America. All the best stores are in there. They didn't have an art gallery. They never did. And I went in and I said, like, well, why don't you guys have an art? I saw an opening, and me, a naive little kid, I was like, why don't you have an art gallery? And they're like, I don't know. And I'm like, well, I want to rent this space. And I just quit my job, and that's a whole other story, but I just quit my job in finance. And I was like, I want to rent this space. And they're like, sure, it's $50,000 a month. I'm like, $50,000 a what? That doesn't, like, the number didn't even make sense. And I was like, my first break was thinking outside the box as to how to get in there, because I knew if I put myself two doors down from Rolex, beside another luxury store, beside Hugo Boss and beside Versace, I'd be like, oh, you're aligned with this, you know, this client. And I said to them, let's do a 3-day pop-up. Let's just do a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Like, we've never done that. What are you talking about? And I'm like, no, like, I think I can make this work. And I had so much belief in myself. And this is a lesson for everyone. When you have belief in yourself, people around you start believing in you. And they said that. And they're like, well, if you're crazy enough to think you can execute this, we're crazy enough to give you this. And they gave me a 3-day pop-up. That was my first real break, because that 3-day pop-up, all the paintings that we did there, we got a ton of press. I don't even know how. And all the paintings that we had there sold out. So on the Sunday, they came to me like, do you want to extend till Friday? I'm like, yes, of course I do. That Friday turned into a 5-year lease in one of the number one retail spaces in North Carolina.
Wow. Great story. How did you know how to like price your art at that pop-up?
It's a great question. So that was 5 years into me. I got that pop-up 5 years into like me doing little mini pop-ups. And so I would rent like a little hotel space. I would rent like a little open area gallery space in Toronto. I would do these little mini pop-ups, and they started at $200-$300 a painting. Then everything sold out. Then $700 a painting. Then everything sold out, $1,000. So because I never had a management or gallery representation saying, this is the price of your art, I genuinely just did it based on what the market was saying. It was a true test of market, like resilience. I was being like, okay, my paintings are all 1,000 now. Let's see what happens. And they all sell out. I'm like, okay, 2,500. They all sell out. And then I now up to, you know, my paintings are in the $20,000 to $30,000 range. I've just continued to do that. Like, and it's been very, very organic through the last 10 years of just like, what will the market allow, right? I've never gouged, never had a gallery say, I'm going to double your prices and we're going to make you a trillionaire. It was always been like, my paintings are this, the everyone knows they're hand painted. So, you know, the limited edition aspect of it's very limited. So like, well, what's that worth to the person that wants it? And I only make a certain amount of paintings a year. And they're like, okay, well, this makes sense. So that's how I priced it. And at that time, pieces were probably in the $2,500 to $5,000 range, rewinding a little while now. And then once everything sold out, that next batch of pieces that I put in, they're probably around the $5,000 to $10,000 range. And now in that state, I mean, I'm fast forwarding. That was for a year, right? That took a year to 2 years to actually formulate. But that's sort of how it went.
So, you know, it reminds me when you're talking about the reps and all this and the failures and all that. There's a guy named Howie Panis, who started Logic e-cigarettes. He's a friend of mine. I went to his event, spoke out in Palm Springs one time, and he had 29 failed startups. And then in 30th, he skipped being a millionaire and went right to a billionaire. And so anytime it just reminds me of this, and what you're talking about, it just reminds me of this, that anytime I have like these things, I have these wild ideas or these businesses I try to start and it doesn't work out. Like, I can't go cry and complain to anybody, because until I have 29, Howie's not going to listen to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's going to be like, dude, I did 29.
They won't listen because they know.
Yeah. So that's reminding me of that. Now, have you had a painting before that you thought was a badass painting and nobody wanted it?
Oh, I mean, it happens all the time.
Have you had an ugly one you thought like you weren't impressed with it and it sold for a lot and you're like, holy shit. Like,
so crazy story. The second batch of paintings that I did at that Yorkdale, to go back to that story, is early, obviously early in my career. I spent like 6 months developing those 15, 16 canvases. And I thought it was enough. And when the night before we opened up the gallery for the second time, there was this empty space at the end of the wall. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I need to put something there. And I had nothing. I literally got an old canvas, like an old framed canvas, splashed a little bit of paint, put a little heart, put a little line. I mean, I'm being very transparent when I say it took me under 15 minutes to make this canvas, where everything else took me 6 months. It took me under 15 minutes. I put it up. The second person that walked into the gallery, the second, not 2 days later, 2 weeks later, the second person that walked through the door, walked to that painting and said, this is the most incredible thing I've ever seen. I need to buy it right now. I was like, I don't know what's going on. The lady bought it, delivered it to her house, and it's still there many, many, many years later. But wow. It was a crazy story because you just don't know. The truth is, to go back to those reps, I, like anything in life, I had done this so many times that it really does only take me 15 minutes. Obviously, I spend a lot more time on canvases. I do huge canvases. I do details, stuff like that. But the root of a painting, like the feel, the depth of a painting, doesn't take that long, right? So because I already had the base layer done, which is takes all the time for me, the base layer, because of the colorblind thing, because I had the base layer done, I could finish a canvas in a couple seconds. So that's what I did. So it's happened before where I didn't necessarily think it was ugly. I just didn't think it was complete. Right.
Right. Right.
But
right.
I mean, there's been so many times where I spent so much time on a canvas and depth and layers and storytelling and all this different stuff. And I've put it out into the world. I've had it in galleries. I've shipped it around the world. I've done shows in Miami with it, with the same painting. Sometimes I travel with pieces. And no one's even inquired. And I was like, why? Like, you just don't know. You just don't know. There's no math to it.
So freaking wild, man.
Yeah.
And have you developed relationships with the people that have bought your painting, and like, and what's some stories that you have from that? I know the answer is yes, by the way, but what's some great stories that have come from it, or things that have extended out from that, whether you met some other cool people or whatever? Yeah. What sticks out to you?
My whole career is built off that. You know, I've been so grateful for the collectors that have collected my art for the last, you know, 10 years now. And I would say 95-97% of every single canvas I've sold, I've personally delivered. Now, is that a good use of my time? In theory, someone looking bird's eye view in, no. But I just got back from Fort Myers 2 nights ago. I delivered a canvas to a client. Especially now when the dollar amount is, you know, I'll easily go fly somewhere for a one-night stay and hand deliver it. The ability to do that, you have to remember, and as you know, like you said, like-minded people, someone who's spending $25,000 on a canvas probably has friends that like art as well, or probably has a circle of people that enjoy the similar things that they do. And that's just the way of the world. So the characters I've met, the individuals and the not even celebrities, ignore the celebrity aspect of it, just like the real individuals that have created incredible businesses and brands and stories, have been fantastic. And I've developed real relationships with, like, very good friendships with almost all of them, right? Like, it's because I'm going into their home with something so personalized, or even if it's not personalized, even if they buy it off the wall, it's something so unique to their space. And we're, as you know, art elevates a space more than we can ever imagine. Like, you go into some people who live in a white walled home, all of a sudden you put up a bright, beautiful, layered, textured, colored piece of art, and the whole entire environment changes. And I see this, people messaging back 2-3 years later, and they're like, I still walk by that painting every day and I smile. It's incredible to me. It's the number one joy that I get through my artwork. But being there to install it, take the photo with them, smile with them, explain it with them is everything. So I do that as much as I can.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. Now, celebrities, yeah. Obviously, like, as we get to where we're going and we hang out with people that, like, we used to think of that we'd never have contact with, what have you. When you first started having celebrities come around or being involved with that, were you starstruck at first? I know it wears off, but were you, and yeah. Who's the most, like, the one that was your favorite to run into or connect with somehow?
Yeah. I mean, for sure. I still am, of course, right? I've done a lot of different pieces. One of the early, couple years ago now, early celebrities that had piece for his personal home was Shaquille O'Neal. And that was amazing. He was fantastic and a true joy. And he spent a lot of time with us when I just thought he was just going to be a little quick, little in and out. And, so he was one of the early ones that were really like, oh wow, this is like a larger than life, also in size, but like a larger than life character, yeah, in the world, known globally, that is taking the time out of his day to speak about my art and put my art up. When he sold his home in, I think in Florida, I think it was in Orlando, when they did the real estate tour, the drone came in, the first painting you saw in the house was the painting I did for him, which was crazy. So there was that. The most near and dear to my heart, like starstruck wise, was Lil Wayne. I did a painting through a friend of mine, Euro, who signed to Young Money, that Lil Wayne, that was gifted to Lil Wayne. And I met him a year after he had the painting that I knew was in his house, and we were at Drake's house. And he came up to me give me a hug and say, I like your art, bro. And that to me, I remember texting my wife in the moment. I was like, I'm done. I'm retired. I don't need to do anything else anymore. Like, Lil Wayne said he likes my art. So that, yeah, was the coolest thing for me in history, because I mean, just a huge Lil Wayne fan, like, since I was young. So yeah, I was like, what do you mean Lil Wayne knows my art? And then his recent music video, he's in his house and he walks by and you see the painting behind him. So
awesome.
it happens. Yeah. It's very surreal.
Well, how do people with art, right? Unless you have your name in the art, right? How do people know that it's yours? Like, if somebody saw that music video, like, damn, that art, that's piece of, you know, how do they know that it's yours and where to find you to get, you know?
Yeah, so right before we started, we talked about the heart and you recognizing it from another artist that does hearts. I mean, obviously, I didn't create the shape of a heart, but the heart is what ended up doing that for me. I was creating artwork on a global scale for 3-4 years before someone was like, I saw someone post a picture and like, I love this art, and didn't know it was mine. And I was like, there is nothing recognizable in that piece. And that goes back to marketing, it goes back to branding. And I was like, I obviously the story of following your heart, because that's what I did. I followed my heart out of a career in baseball and finance to become an artist. So obviously that story resonated with me. I needed something that tied it together. So no matter where I went, when you watch a show, when you see me, like, the heart, even if it's not my heart, my goal is that if you see a heart, you think of me. And in the Lil Wayne example, like, as you walk by, there's a huge heart in the canvas. So because the signature is so small, no one can really see a signature. But you hope that the style, the drip, the texture is one thing. But everyone does that. Like, I didn't innovate how I paint, right? Like, I mean, modern art is modern art. But I hope that, like, my goal is that my heart, the shape of my heart and the depth and heart I put into the pieces is what resonates and what is what's known. Yeah.
It's your signature there. That's basically the signature.
That's
there.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now with art, okay, I got two parts of this next question. Okay, with art, what's next for you? Like, what are you going for? If I would snap my fingers and make something happen, what would that look like? Paint that picture for me. And then number two, outside of art, I know in talking to you that you have this desire to impact. And I remember that something that stuck out to me when we talked in Miami. So two questions for art, what's next? And then, you know, beyond that for impact, like, what do you really want to get into?
Yeah, no, it's great. And those are, you know, especially I love that this conversation is happening at the beginning of the year in 2024, because now looking at what my goals are for this year and in the 5-year plan are those two things. It's I want to paint more. So much of my life, especially the last 3-4 years, I've spent spreading myself extremely thin. I've started so many brands, so many mini successes, massive failures. Everything from restaurants to jewelry brands to clothing brands to, like, all these different things that I've wanted to do. And what they did was take away time from my canvases. So the snap of the fingers is, for me, is that I'm finally starting to roll into gallery representation, like, globally. So I have one gallery in Australia, and I'm talking to a bunch all in LA right now, Scottsdale, New York, Europe. So I'm starting to talk to galleries that will represent my art, which will allow me to focus on just making art. So my goal on the art side of things is I want to create more. I want to create more art, more depth, more texture, more canvas, and just get more things out into the world. The world's big, and there's a lot of art collectors, and there's a lot of people that can be uplifted and enjoy my artwork, and I just need to make more. So that's the first step. The second step is I like speaking. I mean, you see me on, just like you on Instagram as well. I like the public. I've done about probably 10 public events where I've gone into corporate. I've gone into different things where I paint live as I'm speaking, which is a very, very fun concept. And I love that, because I think I'm able to not only tell a relatively inspiring story, but I think that my story is very relatable of someone who just, like, wants to dream big and wants to wake up and execute and just needs a little hearing it from a different voice. As we know, we have coaches, we have mentors. When you hear it structured a different way, sometimes it clicks. And that's all my goal is that hopefully taking a different vehicle, which is art, to prove that everyone is creative. Because everyone always tells me, I can't even draw a stick person. That's not what this is about. I don't care if you can paint or not. This is about using creativity to get through your day to day. And that's it. That's how you put your kids to bed, using creativity. If that's how you talk to your spouse, if that's how you execute, a work document for your boss, whatever it may be, let's utilize creativity. So my goal is to get that out while creating a ton of artwork.
Yeah, bro, listen, like, when people say about the stick figure, like, look at your hearts. Your hearts aren't the perfect heart shape. They're unique, and it doesn't have to be perfect. That's what people don't get. Like, whatever comes out of your head, put it on, like, just go execute. Like you talked about, that was a good point earlier. The other thing is, I gotta be a part of this thing, what you're doing, man. You're, like, getting the word out. I want to talk to you about that offline here, because I have an idea for you. The next thing I, you know, want to talk to you about is podcasting, as far as having something, a show, or you seem like the type of guy that would be a good host.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about having a show? And
I have. It's been a, you know, I don't like blaming my surroundings ever, but I am in Toronto. And if I were going to do this properly, I love this digital concept. This obviously works well. But there's been one concept I've been playing around with, and I'm going to execute it in my next few deliveries, is you mentioned the characters that buy my artwork and the people, is doing mini podcast series around the installations. Because I think not only do people love when they see the installation side of the home, because it gives them inspiration, it gives them, like, oh, I could do that. Or, like, or some of these homes are just, you know, beautiful mansions. And they're like, well, I want to build to that. So being able to interview these people or podcast with these people would be a fantastic concept. But I think right now, I love the concept of podcasting. I'm really building out a speaking platform where I'm just doing direct to video right now, and hopefully I'll roll out a podcast. But hearing you say it again that I should, it's reiterating the fact that I know I should.
Well, I mean, YouTube, it doesn't even have to be like, it doesn't even have to be a podcast like that where they can go to Apple and listen. Cause I think it's gotta be visual for what you're doing. Yeah. And a YouTube channel, or, you know, actually even getting a situation where you, here, we're just brainstorming here, right? Live on the show.
Oh, I love it.
You could also think about, like, you know, something that would go on Netflix or Amazon. That's a show around your artwork. It could be called the Anthony Ricciardi Experience or something. I don't know. But throwing it out there.
I love this. And we're going to put this out in the world because you just said it. Because this concept, I've spoken to many people about. There's Netflix shows, there's HGTV shows in which designers go in and, like, design the home. They put the new couch and everything. There's never been a show done for artwork. Mm-hmm. Whereas I have hundreds of installations of proof that artwork literally elevates any space at all. So my goal with the show is, and I've actually filmed a few pilot episodes. It's funny that you mentioned this. And I do want to, I'm going to put this out in the world because I will have a Netflix show that's covering this, where I go in as the guest artist and we install artwork and the stories behind the artwork and the stories behind the individuals of who I'm painting for.
Huge.
I think it would be beautiful. So
huge.
I thank you for saying that because it did me a little bit of a kick to say, like, keep pushing that a concept.
No, that's definitely got to be done at some point, as long as you can squeeze it in with the other things and not distract yourself and all that. But I mean, I think it's an obligation to get that out to people, man.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
Like, I would watch it, you know? Look, yeah. Anthony, with the best place for people to find you, I could talk to you for hours, by the way. But we're short on time. Like, where's the best place for people to go?
My Instagram, I'm most active, which is just Ricciardi, my last name, Paints. My website's the same, Ricciardi Paints, but I'm most active, like, every day on Instagram, and I'm starting to pick up on TikTok, but it's just mainly Instagram.
Awesome, guys, go check him out. This guy's a good dude, man. It's not only very talented, but also just wants to impact this planet. And I love people like that. So, Anthony, thank you so much for being here. Hang tight while I wrap this up.
Yeah, thank you. Very grateful.
All right, guys, you've been listening to the What Are You Made Of podcast here at That One Studios with your boy C-Rock. I just want to make sure that you all understand that you're unstoppable to live in the life of your dreams. Like Anthony said, you just got to execute. Pull out all the limitations. Just trash them. Get them out of there and just go. Right. And I always have the saying, thrust is a must. Like, we got to move, man. So, guys, go do it. Keep coming back. Subscribe, like, do all the things, you know, that you could do to support us. We really appreciate it. And until next time, boy, C-Rock signing off. Be that one.